Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the hallmarks of the Christian church, which I think we do pretty well, is loving our enemies. Even though we don't like it, we do it. If you go to any prison in this country, you will find Christian ministers who are in the business of the works of reconciliation. We talk about reconciliation on a national level. We speak of peace. We're pretty good about loving our enemies. But there's something that really is difficult, and I would say it's one of the most impossible commands that Jesus gave to us when he said, love each other. That's harder. And I'll tell you why it's harder, because we live with each other. And you know, Samantha, you're going to find this out when you're in a dorm full of kids. After a while, you'll get on each other's last nerve. It's awfully hard to love the people we're closest to. And in the church, we are told, we're commanded to love each other. And it's one of the most difficult tasks of the Christian church. And one that I'm sorry to say, when I talk about the Christian church, I'm talking about the universal church, we really fail big time at this. And so did our Moravian ancestors, so we're in good company. The Moravians started out in Czechoslovakia, or the Czech Republic, and they found their way to an estate of a Lutheran nobleman named Count von Zinzendorf, who promised them safe passage and a place to be where they could worship. These were people who had been under persecution, people who struggled, and they came to this beautiful estate. They were able to settle down there. They were able to practice their faith with no restrictions. And you would think these were not enemies who came together. These were friends, people who had struggled together for many years. And here they are in a place that's beautiful, that's peaceful. And they started to get in each other's businesses and faces and after each other. Sunday worship must have been very interesting in Herrnhut in the 1700s. And they realized that this was not what God had intended. So they decided that they had to change. And the first way to change was to covenant with each other that they were going to act differently. So they started to act differently toward each other and pray that God would help them. And I would call that part of their time Wisconsin nice. You know, they acted nicely toward each other. Maybe we're a little more respectful of each other. But then on one great day in August, August 13th, they were together in a place, they were in a church worshiping, and the Spirit of God came to them. And all the differences and all the resentments just fled away from them. And it was we call it the renewal of the Moravian church. From that one experience came several things, one of which was the mission movement of the church, where people went throughout all the world. And other more established denominations said, if those little Moravians can do it, so can we. So it sparked interest in other places. The other thing was the business community. Herrnhut was not only a religious community, it was also a place for business. And before this renewal, they had been at such odds with each other that nothing could get done. After the renewal, they became a model of commerce for other communities. And what I learned from that experience is that we can make nice with each other. We can do that. But if we really want to do what God says for us to do, we're going to need help from above. And the Bible promises us that we can have that help. He said, God is love. And when we ask for that Spirit of love to baptize us, God will do that for us. Now, what do we mean by that kind of love? It's not just not being nice with each other. He said it's the type of love that caused Jesus to go to the cross for us. That's a sacrificial love. That means the Christian church is supposed to be able to come together and be willing to sacrifice for each other. Be willing to not just look at our calendar and say, well, this is convenient for me, but even if it's not convenient, I'm going to sacrifice for the other. And the reason that Jesus said that, you will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another, is that it's so unusual. Think about it. If people walk into whatever church you're a part of, and they see people who are not just having lip service, but genuinely love each other, that's very unique. And they might even decide, I want what they have. John said, nobody's seen God. But if God lives in you, they're going to see God through you. And he said, the only way God's going to live in us is if we actively love each other. Now, I'll give you a modern day example. When I was a young pastor, I went to my first synod. For those who aren't Moravians, that's like the huge business council of the church. It meets every 4 years, and people come together from all over, go to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and they spend a few days looking at the future and the life of the church. And I was so excited. This was my first synod. And I was excited because I was excited about being a pastor and going and seeing how the church operates. After a few days, I was not so excited. I saw politics in the church. I was horrified. I didn't think that happened at a church. I was awfully young. I saw people maneuvering for position, which I knew was not a good thing to do. And after a few days, I left. And a whole group of New York churches left with me, because we were horrified at some of the stuff that was happening at Synod. And when I got home, my dear pastor and Bishop Stanley Thomas called me. And he asked how I was doing. Well, I told him how I was doing and how angry I was. And there was a particular person at that Synod that I was very angry with, because I felt like this person had maneuvered certain things and had gone behind the scenes. And I was pleased because that very person did not get what they wanted. And he was thwarted at Synod too, so I thought, good, I'm glad. And my dear Bishop Pastor said to me, you need to call that man. Oh, to tell him what I really think? He said, no. He said, he's hurting too. I said, of course he's hurting. He should be hurting. He did something bad. He said, no, you need to call and ask him how he's doing and pray for him. Why do I have to do that? He said, because he's your brother in Christ. Now, I didn't pick up the phone because the man was my brother in Christ. I picked up the phone because I respected my pastor and knew that maybe he was on to something, although I couldn't see it at the time. And I resisted saying to that man that I called, you know, you deserve whatever you get. And I was kind and loving even though I didn't feel like it. I have to tell you, to this day, that person is one of my supporters and somebody I greatly respect. You see, if the church can figure this out, there's no stopping us. But we're going to need help. And so if you feel like, I just can't love the person who's gotten on my last nerve, that's when we need the Holy Spirit of God. We found out last week that any time we ask, we will receive. And if we seek, we will find. If we seek his Spirit today, he's going to set the church on fire through me and through you, loving each other. And when the world sees that, they're going to come, because it's so unusual. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you I thank you that you set the church on fire in the 1700s. I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that helps us to love passionately. And I ask that you would help us to go beyond nice to that sacrificial love that stamps us with your image. We ask this and all your mercy.